And it is July 26th, and it's 8.02 p.m. Eastern Time, and this is the Natural Healing Call. And I should remind people that the views presented by the presenters on this call are their expressed views and not necessarily coinciding with NLA, since we really don't have too many views on natural healing except we like it. So tonight we have Carl, and he's going to talk about natural healing and a variety of things, it sounds like. So go ahead, Carl.
Okay, thank you. Again, my name is Carl, and I would like to, if I could, lay down some really quick, I don't want to call them ground rules, but things that are going to help me to help you all, that we can get through this, and it's beneficial for everybody. One of the main things would be that if you have questions, I would encourage you, and I don't know if it's something you all do, kind of standard anyway, but to write those down and hold them until the question and answer portion of the show. And aside from that, at that point, at that time, if we get to that time, I will give my email, and we can you can email me, I guess, directly if that doesn't offend anybody at the production side of this. And also, let me throw this in really quick, and this is my personal disclaimer. I know that you, the National Liberty Alliance, already gave one, but please allow me to suffer me to give my own. And it is as follows. I am not a doctor. I'm a shaman. I cannot heal you. I can only teach you how to heal yourself. And nothing within this presentation should be construed as legal or medical advice. I do not offer legal or medical advice. I only offer information for entertainment purposes only. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to email me at cjeh@pm.me. That would be Charlie Juliet Echo Hotel at pm.me. So with that, let's get started. First, I'd like to say that when we talk about cancer, diabetes, deficiencies, AIDS, HIV, anything, just about anything, we are talking about diseases. And we first need to understand what is a disease. And to lay some groundwork for that, let's liken a disease into a puzzle, if we could. When you get a puzzle, you look at it in its completed form, it is in perfect arrangement, or arrangement. It's in perfect arrangement. But prior to that, that puzzle was not arranged. It was in disarrangement, and we call that disarray. Much is the same with our body. When our body is in perfect condition, we call that homeostasis. We're disease-free. We are, our body and our 12 body systems are at ease, if you will. And it is when our body is attacked either virally, bacterially, or any infectious way, when our body is attacked in physical trauma or anything of that nature, then our body becomes in dis-ease, where we are not, our body, that is, and our 12 systems of our body are not at ease. And I hope that everyone can kind of understand that that arrangement of terminologies there. So what we're going to talk about, of course, cancer is a disease. It's a disease, basically, of the cell, of the cells of the body. And there is a way to fix that. There is a holistic way, a natural way, a food, a whole food way to fix that. A regimen to fix that. And a lot of times, we jump for the first thing that we think has promise, what the doctor will tell us will have promise, and our friends and families will tell us that has promise, and historically has been the only way to treat a disease of the magnitude of cancer, and that would be radiation and chemotherapy. And what you're doing when you're radiating your body to eradicate the cancer cells is you're also irradiating the good and the healthy cells. And to bring that into into the mind's eye. My grandmother had just recently, 2 years ago, actually. I say recently, but 2 years ago. She had got through her radiation and chemotherapy treatments. And she was anemic. She couldn't keep down anything that was of the green variety of foods, which is exactly what your body needs after radiation and chemotherapy. Her intestinal tract was kind of eroded from the radiation. A good thing to heal that, just a real quick thing to throw in here at the beginning, is bilberry. And where do you find bilberry? Bilberry, you find that from your mainly your blueberries, the leaf of the blueberry bush. You can extract that and get bilberry, which will constitute and reformulate, if you will, your intestinal tract. And but that's what my grandmother was going through when she had that. And another thing was with cancer, when you start treating it and irradiating it, you're putting your body through a lot of excess trauma, if you would, on the cellular level. And that's what that is what we are trying to, I'm trying to get information and awareness out there about liposomes. I know you guys have on your website, you have Dr. Thomas Levy, and he does the vitamin C, liposomal vitamin C. I actually spoke with him through email a time or two and wanted to get with him on the word's escaping me right now, but wanting to get with him on the, if it would be possible to work with him to make a liposome and for the treatment and betterment of cancer patients. Now, if you don't know what a liposome is a molecule. Typically, you'll find liposome, it's called liposomal vitamin C. And what it is you have a vitamin C molecule surrounded in an aqueous liquid with lipids. It's surrounded by fatty lipids. And what that does is if you take vitamin C in its natural form, ascorbic acid, and just take a spoonful, a half a spoonful of it and mix it in your water, what you're going to do is you're going to get some benefit from the vitamin C, but what ultimately you're going to do is you're going to pass most of it out because vitamin C will make you quite regular, quite fast. So what we do with the liposomal vitamin C is you encapsulate that vitamin C molecule within a lipid, and I use sunflower lecithin. That's a fatty lipid that encapsulates that water-soluble vitamin C molecule to where, A, you don't just pass it out through your intestinal tract, and B, because you're not passing it out, it is getting down to your body on a cellular level, because the beauty of a liposome is that it mimics your cells. That's why and how it passes and is so dramatically effective. Liposomal vitamin C is the cousin, if you will, to IV vitamin C, which if you remember, quite a few years back, there was a man in, I think it was in Dutchland, that had swine flu, come down with swine flu. His family had fought with the medical community, and they got him to where they were giving him vitamin C IV, and he was coming around. What he had come down with was the swine flu, and of course that's pneumonia. His lungs were filled. His family insisted on them treating him with not liposomal vitamin C, but with IV vitamin C. And he come around, and ultimately, he's doing fine. Now, why do I say all that? Because liposomal vitamin C is akin to and works on the same level as IV vitamin C. So all that being said, and I hope you understood, I hope I didn't go too fast with it, but let me recap a little bit. Liposomes are basically molecules that are surrounded by a fatty lipid to where they mimic a cell. They mimic your body's own cells. And that's why there is such a great bioavailability when you use liposomal therapies. Now, the only liposomal therapy that I know of currently to date is Dr. Thomas Levy's liposomal vitamin C, which is actually called lipospheric vitamin C on the market. You can find it on eBay. I've bought some for my grandmother. I make my own. The lipospheric vitamin C from Dr. Thomas Levy is a soy-based lecithin. And if you know anything about soy, and if you're a male, you really don't want to consume. You want to consume as less soy as you can if you're a male. So the alternative to the soy lecithin is sunflower lecithin. And so I can't get into the manufacturing of it or the things of that nature because I don't want to infringe on Dr. Thomas Levy and what he's done, and I don't want to do that for legal purposes. But I will say this. Let's bring all that around to our topic tonight, around to the topic of cancer. Now, bringing that around to the topic of cancer, we have to look at someone else who has already laid down some foundational work in that realm. And that gentleman's name would be Edward G. Griffin, which some of you might have heard about The Creature from Jekyll Island. He's an author that he wrote that book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Now, he also, and I don't know if it was prior to or after, he also wrote a book, and there is a YouTube video of Latreal, or vitamin B17, and how it can and does and has cured cancer. And that's what we're going to speak on tonight, is Latreal, or vitamin B17, or another name for it is amygdalin. Now, amygdalin, it's all the same, but amygdalin, Latreal is basically made within the laboratory, much like your ascorbic acid. That's basically, mainly, when you buy it, if you buy it from Vitamin World or anything, you say, hey, I want to get some ascorbic acid, basically, you're buying the laboratory version of ascorbic acid. Latreal is likened unto that, in that Latreal is the pharmaceutical grade, pharmaceutical level of the B17. The natural, holistic, natural version of the Latreal molecule is amygdalin. And you will find amygdalin, the food source that has the greatest amount of amygdalin in it is the apricot seed, the bitter apricot seed, or bitter almonds. But you got to get the bitter ones. And that goes back to, remember when we were kids, and especially if anybody here is older than I am, and I'll be 45 in September, but if you're even older than that, you remember that back in those days, the medicine wasn't that great, and it was quite bitter. Castor oil. I know castor oil was used for medicine, but I know it was also used for punishment. But things of that nature, and that's why in the movie Mary Poppins, they got that big song that says a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down, because typically medicine is bitter. Well, that's the same principle here. One of the main leading things that is going to set your body up to be a prime candidate for not only cancer, but many diseases, is a high sugar content in your body, in your blood. Sugar's sweet, we love it. Everybody loves sweets. But as the Bible says, a false balance is an abomination unto the Lord. And that goes with anything. So, but we love, especially in this country, because it's just pushed down our throats to love sweetness. And what we're doing is we're becoming sick, anemic, disease-ridden, diabetic, and filled with cancer, you know, very much prematurely. So one of the things on this is I want to really stress is that apricot, the bitter apricot kernel, or the bitter almond, either one of those two are the best for creating natural amygdalin. Now, again, I can't get into the process of it because then I would be practicing medicine, if you will. But what I can tell you is I can give you information. I can give you information that I have, and I would like, if you have a pen, I'm going to give you all some things to write down that you can research yourself, because if you see it for yourself, then you know it, then you believe it, and then you can your own mind's eye can deal with that. And so I'm going to give you some information, and the first thing I'll start with, and as soon as I get done with this information, I'll kind of try to be a little bit more streamlined for y'all. The first order of information is an ascorbic acid and cancer review paper. This paper will be found in the Cancer Research, Volume 39, pages 663 through 681. The date is March of 1979. Again, it's the Cancer Research, Volume 39, pages 663 through 681, March of 1979. That is the Ascorbic Acid and Cancer Review Paper. The next thing, and that's about all that there is for the ascorbic acid. That paper is quite a few pages long, so I didn't want to bombard you all with information, but I just wanted to give you enough to kind of get you started so you can see these things for yourself. The next would be an article from the magazine Molecules, and I will give you the URL for this so that you can look it up. The URL, obviously, is www.m, as in Michael, D as in dog, P as in Papa, I as indigo, .com/journal/molecules. www.michaeldeltapapaindigo.com/journal/molecules. And lastly, the last one I will give you will be a paper on liposome methods and preparation and applications. And that will be out of the technicaljournalonline.com. technicaljournalonline.com, and the title of that is Liposome Methods and Preparation and Applications. Now, I wanted to give all that to you all so that what I tell you, you can go back and you can check me out on it. And perhaps you would even find a place, or it would spawn an idea in your mind that perhaps you would want to share with others, and at least share with your family. But on that last that I gave you is largely where I came up with an idea I have for the treatment, the natural, holistic treatment of cancer. And to me, it makes perfect sense. And so if you'll allow me, I'll try to paint this picture for you. I'm going to do this in reverse order because before one would attempt this type of therapy, you would definitely want your body to be as clean as possible, because that amygdalin, that B17, it's going to look at your cells, and if it sees high concentrations of sugar, it's going to attack everything that has sugar in it. And so we don't want to have sugar in our body except for what exactly we need, you know. We want our diet to be clean for quite some time with, you know, 20 days to 30 days of sugar-free. I mean, you get enough sugar in your foods that you eat that you don't need excess sugar. So let me do this backwards. Let me tell you what the liposome therapy method that I have experimented with. And I've done these experiments because I'm not a doctor, because I don't have a lab. I've done them on myself, and I'm still here. So, and I've done them for maybe about 2 weeks' time. You know, I didn't want to go a whole you know, month or 2 months' time. But I did it a 2 months' time. I didn't get sick. I didn't, you know, have any adverse effects. But everybody's plight is different. Everybody's diet is different. So everybody's molecular structure is different to a degree. But at any rate, what I did was I took sunflower lecithin and I took apricot kernels, which you can buy those at, you can buy them offline at eBay. I bought a bag of apricot kernels. I took those apricot kernels, and in one of those papers you'll see that there's a process for extracting the amygdalin out of them. And so I extracted the amygdalin out of them, and then I dried it out and put it down into a fine powder. And then what I did is I took 150 milliliters of vodka, potato vodka, 150 milliliters of distilled water, and I put that on a warming plate to where the water was around 30 degrees Celsius, which is approximately about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and then I poured my amygdalin, or my apricot seed dust in it that had been extracted, and I did that until it was dissolved, and then I took and I put the lecithin in there, which encapsulated that amygdalin molecule within that lecithin. So it was an encapsulated. So going back to the liposomal vitamin C, this was a liposomal amygdalin, or B17, which is a cancer fighter. And I guess I should digress and tell you how that B17 fights cancer. The way that B17 kills cancer is it looks for a cancer cell. And how does B17 find a cancer cell? Your cancer cells have an extra enzyme around them. When you have your cell, you have your soma, but your cancer cells have an extra layer or extra, I don't want to say it's an extra soma, but within that soma, the body of the cell, the outer of the cell, it has an extra enzyme in it. So that liposomal amygdalin is going out and going down through there, and it recognizes, whoa, wait a minute, this is not a typical cell. This cell has an extra enzyme in it. Now, how does that happen? How does it know that it's got an extra enzyme in it? Because we need to understand that our body is many things. And one of the things that it is, it's electricity. The best way to prove that to you guys here on this call here is that there are many papers you can find them easily about electron flow. It's an electron flow theory, and the theory goes as such: when you have high oxidative stress, that disrupts the electron flow. And that's why we have antioxidants. And that's why antioxidants make you healthy, which is what vitamin C is. It's nature's grandest antioxidant, which means that it alleviates the oxidative stress that our body is always under. We're constantly under oxidative stress from any number of things. But the electron flow theory. So going back to what I was saying prior was this liposome of amygdalin or vitamin B17, it recognizes, whoa, that's throwing off some different electron signatures. So that, let's go inspect that cell. Well, then it goes over there and it sees that, wow, this cell has an extra enzyme in it, so we've got to destroy that enzyme. And when it destroys that enzyme, the amygdalin releases, that dead cell or cancer cell releases the rest of its, I guess, let me use this word, disease. And so therefore, that amygdalin recognizes that as disease, and it totally destroys it, and it creates the electrical field for apoptosis, which is cell death. So basically, in a nutshell, when that latril, or that B17, finds that cancer cell, and it does its magic on it, it encodes that cell that it's just attacked to go ahead and die. And so that is a way that you can alleviate cancer without burning. You can alleviate and eliminate the cancer cells without burning and destroying all the good cells that are around it. So going back to what I said also earlier was that I don't have a laboratory to conduct tests with, and I don't have the materials and stuff. But if you look at those, if anybody's interested, I can get even more detailed with it through email and stuff like that, and I can send you PDFs and things of that nature. If you happen to be going through anything like that, or have a family member or a friend that is going through it. Now that's all the. Not all of it, but that's the main gist of the medical and neutronic aspects of it. And so some people might be thinking, well, okay, first of all, why is this guy telling me this? I got to get all this stuff and make this and learn how to do that and everything like that. But let me say this: if I can do it, I know you guys can do it. So, but let's back it up, and Let's do something that we can really have a little bit better control of than we can do on a daily basis. And that one thing is getting rid of all those properties, especially the sugar, that are hampering and hindering our body from being in ease and throwing us into dis-ease. So I have a little formulation here of a program that will get you, your body to be as clean as I know how to get one, aside from just completely starving yourself to death, and we don't want to do that because the body needs fuel to run on. But what we can start with, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the word chelation. We have to chelate, which means stripping out all of the heavy metals and other nuances that have found their way in our body. And chelation is a big word for purging, purging the body. The way to do that, the easiest way I know how to do it, is to buy some activated charcoal. You can buy that online. Back in the day, when I first started working on the ambulances, we still used it for poisoning. We still use activated charcoal for poisoning. Now, that's all but gone now. But it was as recent as when I started working on an ambulance, it was still considered a viable treatment for poisoning was activated charcoal. So activated charcoal will put your body into what's called chelation. I'm going to run through this really quick, and like I say, if anybody has any questions and wants to further know a little bit more in depth and detail, then feel free to email me. But I'll just run through this for the sake of time and for the sake of getting it out there. You want to do a 3-day fast with chelation. And how you, and the way that you're not going to pass out from not having food and having everything chelated out of your body is while you're doing that 3-day fast and chelation, you're going to be supplementing yourself with fruit and vegetable juices and raw foods. Okay? Just raw foods. Not cooked, just raw foods. Like kale. I eat raw kale. I eat cooked kale as well, but raw kale. Just blend it up or whatever. It don't have to be kale, but kale is just really good. Raw foods supplemented with fruits and vegetable juices for 3 days with chelation going on. Then for 7 days after that, you're doing just juice and raw food. So you're not fasting, you're not chelating, but you're not throwing all that heavy meat into your body, all those processed foods into your body. You're just doing 7 days of juice and raw foods. On the 8th day, you want to do what's called the ascorbic acid cleanse. And how do you do that? Well, I said that earlier, is you take half a teaspoon of ascorbic acid, mix it in water or fruit juice, and just drink it. And do that twice a day, and starting that at day number 8, and you do that up until day number 14. And so you're going to be on the pot quite a bit until your body starts to get regulation and understand what's going on. So keep that in mind when you do this ascorbic acid cleanse. And then from day 15 is we typically get into the liposomal vitamin C, the alpha-lipoic acid. Now, alpha-lipoic acid is outstanding for someone that has diabetes. But we have not really talked about that. We haven't covered all that stuff, so I don't want to overwhelm or anything. And I feel, guys, that I'm talking too fast as it is, but I'm just trying to get that stuff out there. I am going to see what time it is here and see that perhaps I need to go ahead and back down and open. Yes, let's open this up for question and answer. Is anybody there?
You can hit star 6 to unmute if you want to ask a question.
And I know I threw a lot out there, guys, but I had a lot of stuff I wanted to cover and get out there. But while we're waiting on people to formulate questions and unmute themselves, let me just digress and say it's basically anytime you have disease in the body, it's just your body is in dis-ease. It's not at ease. You're not homeostatic. And what you need to do, whatever it may be, is find out what is making me not homeostatic. And that's what you need to attack.
Would you care to comment about the difference between Laetril and amygdalin?
The difference between Laetril and amygdalin?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Laetril is made, for the most part, it's made in a laboratory. Amygdalin you find naturally within apricot seeds. If you eat, I typically eat 3 apricot seeds a day for probably 2 to 3 weeks, and then I'm off, and I'm back on, and everything like that. I don't have any cancer, but I'm still eating the apricot seeds because they have the amygdalin. The amygdalin, basically, when you think amygdalin, think apricot seeds. When you think Laetril, it's basically the same thing, but Laetril is synthetically made. if that, hopefully that answers your question.
Okay.
And while we're waiting for somebody else, there's a big debate on the fact of is amygdalin the same as Laetrile? Of course, the debate stems from the pharmaceutical companies. So they have a vested interest in debating the fact that amygdalin is not Laetrile and vice versa and everything like that. That's why I gave you guys those URLs and other things. Do your research. Don't take anything I say even for granted or for what it says on its face, prima facie. Do your research. The Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
There are a lot of foods that contain amygdalin. Are there any that have a content approaching that of the apricot kernel? Like peach kernels, for example, or bitter almonds, grape seeds, so on?
Right, yeah. Peach is, it's kind of like a hierarchy, obviously. Apricot seeds, from everything I've been able to find, are the best, the highest concentration. Then it goes down to your peach seeds, plum seeds, and then, of course, apple seeds. Those have the lowest. So you got apple at the bottom, peach, plum, pear, peach, plum, in the mid-range, but apricots are your highest range. And on your highest end, along with apricot seeds, would be bitter almonds, but they have to be bitter almonds. The sweet almonds, the ones that you buy in the store, are not bitter almonds. That's not going to do anything for you in this respect.
Okay, thank you.
Sir.
Are there any other questions, as long as we're paused here for a moment? If not, if you have more information, Carl, please feel free to move forward on it.
I talked about briefly also oxidative stress and the electron flow theory. If you have an interest, a concern, a family member, yourself that is battling anything, familiarize yourself with the electron flow theory, because that deals with the body on a cellular level. Another thing is, don't expect anything that you find within the natural health remedies to be a quick fix-all. Let's look at it this way. You didn't develop, for the most part, you didn't develop an illness or a disease or anything. You might have only seen it and felt it come on real quick, but it was laying there. It was developing over time. So with that being said, it's going to take time to undo it. And typically, as we know, it always takes longer to fix something after it's been broke. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn type of thing, you know. So be patient with it. Don't take it one or two times, whatever it may be, and say, okay, well, it didn't work, you know, so here I go. I'm done with this and everything. You've got to give it time. It took time for you to get sick. It's going to take time for you to get better. Another thing is, you know, with everybody running to the pills here and there and everything and Big Pharma and all that stuff, you know, a lot of your pills, you know, you've seen on the commercials, you know, you'll take something for, I was going to say you'll take something for butt cramps, you know, because everybody wants, you know. So it says it'll fix the butt cramp, but you've got this whole list, a plethora of side effects. The reason that you have all these side effects on this medicine that you get from Big Pharma companies is because what they have done is they have synthesized, they have either synthesized a molecule or they've isolated a molecule. And when you isolate the molecule, all those side effects, if they would have took that and packaged it up in like a whole food version of it, you wouldn't have as many side effects. But when you take out and you isolate one property or you know, one faction of a medicine, you're leaving out all these other things that made the medicine. As we all know, that most medicine still to this day comes from root and tree in the botanical world. And if you find out what's wrong with you, you can fix it through the botanical world without all the side effects. Because the reason you have the side effects, the number of side effects for all the medicines, is because what they've done is they've isolated something. They've isolated an isotope or something, and just to give you that quick fix. But all you're doing is masking the situation. And mostly medicine, that's all it does anyway, you know, the pharmaceutical medicine, is it just treats the symptom. We want to treat the underlying issue. And, of course, what I told you all here is kind of treating the system. But that underlying issue is treatable through diet, which, since we're going to move on, let's look at diet real quick. I have that here. I have that right here. I'm going to give you a rundown. And what these are they're actually cancer protocol diets, but I believe that they'll work for anything. And I'm just gonna breeze over this real quick. The best diet plans here. It's called cancer protocol diets, but I think it'll work for everything. We want fresh vegetables, raw fruits. We don't want shellfish. You know, I know we want shellfish, but you know, not if we're trying to better our position if we're facing anything. So basically, it's the diet. I mean, your diet can fix you or fail you. I got a paper here that I have it physically, but I could find the PDF again, and if I could, I will make that available to John or one of the other gentlemen. And then they can put it on the site, perhaps, if they want to. This is pages of different diets for different problems. So I will do that as soon as I can. I'll try to do that. If you guys are interested in that, let me know, and I'll do that for you. One thing I will say is that cancer most always starts out in the pancreas. So if you can keep your pancreas healthy, I think you'll stand a better chance of either beating cancer or never getting cancer. So all of your cancers start out within the pancreas, and it's because of the job of the pancreas. Between the pancreas and the liver, those are the two main organs that are responsible for keeping you cancer-free. Scratch that. Those are the two main organs responsible for keeping you healthy. Those are the two main organs that cancer usually attacks first. I'll say it that way. Because we got to think that cancer is it's a cell. It's a cell that has just become mutated. It's become mutated through diet mainly, and that's 99% of it is it's a cell that. Or a cell that has become mutated, and then that cell is resident to a specific body system, and whether it be the reproductive system, the lymphatic system, the respiratory system, the cardiovascular system, or anything like that, and that's what happens when it gets in there. It usually gets in there through the pancreas first. It does its job to do its best that it can, but you can only swim upstream for so long, and then you got to grab a hold of the bank. You know what I mean? And that's what a cancer cell does. It swims upstream, and then it grabs a hold of some organ tissue that it can latch onto and metastasize. Eating clean would be the number one thing that a person can do, whether you're facing diabetes, cancer, the common cold. Eating clean, eating healthy, it's just something we've gotten away from in our society, with fast food, with work schedules and things like that. We don't make the time to eat healthy. We don't make the time hardly anymore to sit around the table, things of that nature. Any questions? Any other questions?
Well, I have been interested in shamanism for maybe 25 years. You mentioned you're a shaman. What type of shamanism have you studied?
Well, the shamanism, when I speak of that, is basically, honestly, I don't know if, well, maybe you guys would be, Kabbalism, you know, the Kabbalah.
Oh, the Kabbalah?
And different people say it differently, and I just didn't know who, you know, which way to say it. Yeah,
right.
That, Hermetics, you know, things of that
right.
nature. I'm also, and you know, I you know, I don't know, I'm going to put myself out here when I say this, but, you know, I'm a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Mason, and that's kind of what actually got me interested into the Kabbalah and the Hermetics and stuff of that nature. And so, but basically when I say shamanism, I'm just saying like, you know, a natural healer. You know, I believe firmly, and well, I hate to say the word believe, but I know that we come from the, let's look at it this way. If we were taught this in school, we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, and that tree does the exact opposite. I don't know if any of you guys remember that from school, but that tree does the exact opposite. So that tells me that there's a connection there, you know, and you usually in your Native American cultures and things of that nature, they still understand that and respect that and adhere to that. And the tree is part of the botanical world. And so I'll tell you this way. About 10 years ago, I was on some medicine. I was on some seizure medicine. For quite some time, which affected my liver a little bit, you know. And so they said, "Wow, man, your cholesterol is off the charts." It was like a 3-something, and I was still a young guy, and my cholesterol was at 3-something. And so they gave me this other medicine, it was called Lescal, and I started taking that Lescal, and it was affecting my seizure medicine because I was having more regular seizures. And so I took it upon myself. I said, well, that was the only thing that came into my life, and then this started happening. So I got rid of the Lescal. I just did a little bit of research, and I found out that garlic is outstanding for cutting cholesterol. And so I did research on that. I bought me 3 cloves of garlic, and every day, 3 bulbs of garlic, and every day I would peel a clove off, and then I would peel it, and then I would crush it in my mouth and then swallow it. And in 6-8 weeks' time, my cholesterol, and that was the only thing I did different, my cholesterol was cut in half in 8 weeks just by taking garlic every day. And it was interesting also when I found out even later that back in the day, the Druids and the Vikings and even the Romans, before they would go into battle, they would eat garlic. And so I thought that was interesting. And that's honestly what really started me on the road. When it became apparent to me in my own life, in my own realization, that, wow, there's something to all this.
Well, I would have to agree with you completely and totally that disease is just dis-ease in your body somewhere. And that comes mainly from storing energies in your body in different points. And you start at a very young age to store these energies in your body. And once you do, and you experience the same negative emotion or energy, you store it in exactly the same place. So as time goes on, it builds up and up and up and up in that particular area.
Absolutely, yeah. You're speaking of the chakra system there.
Yep. And, you know,
yes,
that
sir.
And just the body's energy system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you get to a point where that energy exceeds the energy of the, what you mentioned as the chakra system, or the innate energy around the body, then you start to form, actually it's a couple layers in, but you start to form disease.
Mm-hmm.
And you can rectify that disease by going in and correcting that energy at that point in time.
That's
and it's
very,
interesting
very
if you
true.
Get a abnormal cell growth in an area where there is not a lot of that negative energy stored, what happens is you have a benign tumor. But if you get abnormal cell growth in an area where that energy is stored, then you get regular cancer.
Right, and then it metastasizes and becomes malignant. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I'm right there with you on that. My plight, you know, is basically on the diet and the, just the understanding of it all. But you're absolutely correct in the fact that we are, whether or not we want to believe it or deal with it, you know, those energies are there.
Yes.
And there's no way to get around them. You just got to know how to deal with them. Now, you know, with the when you talk about shamanism there, I do the tuning fork stuff, but where I live, it's actually against the law. As crazy as that sounds, I live in Tennessee, and you cannot practice audio. Well, I don't want to say audio, but you can't practice the tuning fork mythologies. For healing. Now that's going back a few years when I ran into that stumbling block. I just said, well, I'll just do it for myself, you know. And so I've got the Ohm tuning fork, and I've got the 528 hertz tuning fork, and basically that's the sacral chakra and the heart chakra. So if I keep the root clean and the heart clean, I think you know, to me, that's where at least the two most important to me, I believe, is the heart and the sacral chakra.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you learn how to measure the activity or energy level of the chakras, you can tell how healthy people are just by monitoring the root chakra.
Yeah,
and
that I
energy,
can do.
The
that
energy gets
do.
Down yeah. lower and lower and lower, and when it gets down to maybe 5%, you know, they're going to transition within a week or two. You know, they're no longer really attached to the earth, and they're about to leave. It's interesting, all of these things, the energies, the diets, everything ties together, and you can address one part of it or all parts of it, you know, whatever
I'm
your
so
your
glad you said that.
Is.
You're yep. absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. Everything, like you said it right there, everything is connected to everything else.
Right.
You know, so, and that's the truth. I mean, people, you know, I get it all the time. Well, you like chasing rabbits. You like chasing rabbits. No, I don't like chasing rabbits. I just I know that this is connected to that. You know, I'm not chasing a rabbit. And if I am chasing a rabbit, I'm going somewhere with it.
Yep. The other thing I think people forget is that thoughts are things. They generate things. It guides that energy. And if you keep saying, boy, I don't want to grow old and be like that person, chances are very good that you won't. You'll die before that point.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to be careful what you say or think, too, as well.
Yeah, what's the old saying? Be careful what you wish for.
That's right, because
you know?
You're more than likely going to get it.
Yeah. Well, and there's another thing. When you speak something, it's out in the universe. It's there.
Yep. Yep,
it is. It's a vibratory frequency that has gone out.
Yep.
And that's why the monks, you know, the monks, a lot of them take the vow of silence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to always speak positive, you know.
Yep. It's a love energy if it's the right vibration, and it's not, well, that's not good.
Since we got on this subject, let me impress on you, and you probably maybe have already seen it, but there is a study that Greg Braden did.
Right.
And you can find Greg Braden.
Yes.
And you can find it on YouTube. And he does the love and fear. And there's a vibratory frequency to both of those emotions. And it's amazing because we are a double helix. Well, our DNA is a double helix DNA. you know, that's the serpent up the pole, you know, type of thing.
Right.
And he says there's only two emotions that our DNA responds to, and that's love and fear. And if you remember, maybe somebody here is old enough to remember that old song from the Youngbloods. Love is the song we sing, and fear is the way we die. That was back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going back some years, but they knew it, they understood it, and we got away from it.
Mm-hmm.
They were onto some great things back then. And I'm not just talking about the acid and everything, you know, and all that, you know. But they were onto some great things, and we're finding out now. Science is catching back up with it. That wow, there really is only two emotions, really, and that's love and fear. And they were singing about that at Woodstock.
Yep. And then the last thing is, you remember that fear is just false evidence appearing real. And on that note, we're 2 minutes from 9, and I have to shut down, unfortunately. Sorry.
Okay, brother.